It's good to see everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And each and every one of us will be greatly blessed by being here. Just before we start, before I hand over to Dan here, I've got a little note here from Alice Francis, and it is addressed to Cremona Congregational Church. Dear friends, it is with heartfelt gratitude that I want to say thank you to you for your support at this time of sorrow. Your attendance, your calls, and your hugs were all so helpful and comforting to me. Your kindnesses to me and your thoughtfulness of me brings me an overwhelming appreciation to know I belong to such a caring church family. There you go. That's from Alice to each and every person here. And she says, God bless everyone. I'll put that on the announcement board out in the foyer there if you want to read it. There it is. I said to her, do you want me to type it up? She says, oh no, it's much more personal if I handwrite it. I said, well, there you go. Nicely handwritten and it'll be on the board. So there we are. That's from Alice. And even though she's not here so often now, she still feels the warmth and the fellowship of being part of this church family. And she loves it. Loves to be part of it. Thank you, Dan. Over to you.
Morning, everybody. Just a few announcements on the back of the bulletin. Vacation Bible School on July 18th to 22nd. And next Sunday, VBS is having a pancake breakfast at 9:30, and it looks like they might need some helpers. Just wanted to give you sort of an update of what happened last weekend at Yaha Tinda. The good Lord again once again provided us with our 10th CCC Yaha Tinda weekend, and this was this year the count was somewhere near 40. I think I hit 38, 39 in there, so there's quite a few people, including a couple of guests. There was a youth pastor and a mission leader from Sundry, and so we had a chance to meet with them, and needless to say, we did have a great time. The weather was great, God's own scenery was awesome, and the fellowship was incredible. The church service was one of the best that we've had. Sandy Reed did our children's time and finished it with Our God Is So Big. So next time Sandy and Kathy come up here, the children may not be safe. There's a lot of arm flinging going on out there. Sandra Helm provided the message relating the Klondike Gold Rush and the challenges that face those people to her own challenges and faith with God. And we did find again that God does move in some mysterious ways, and he provided us with yet another example when our Cowboy Up, Christian Up message that Vicki and I had prepared was to directly related to Sandra's message, of which we had obviously no idea what it was going to be. So I would say that God was with us for sure. The worship team provided us with song, and all of this was done under the big orange jack-o'-lantern shelter that was provided by Richard Sheehan. Imagine that shelter absolutely totally fit with around our campfire. We were really worried about whether it was going to fit, but we couldn't have had a better fit there. Much fun was had by all. I particularly enjoyed watching adults chasing young, very mobile children. Dave and Larry showed up with four very busy girls, and we are glad that they left with four busy girls. Bob Bergson's version of Amazing Grace, which was accompanied by Howard, was a beautiful thing. All in all, an awesome weekend. And as Psalm 145, verse 3 says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness to one no one can fathom. It was a great weekend. I think Andrea and Susan have an announcement.
So Dan gave you a bit of a preamble about VBS. We're starting tomorrow morning. Registration is at 8:45 and we're running to 11:45. I think we've got a really good crew and lots of help this year, which makes Andrea and my job a lot easier. So thank you to those who are helping. I have been informed this morning that we don't have any more needs for our sign-up list regarding our snack needs for this week, so a huge thank you to all of those that have contributed. We are doing a mission project. Andrea spoke about it a couple weeks ago. You can see the sign-up sheet or the list on the foyer there where we need certain toiletries and that sort of thing brought. we're wanting to teach the children about giving, and that is one of the themes this week, is giving from your heart and giving to those that don't have what we have. And so we were in touch with the food bank, Sheriff King's Women's Shelter, and I believe one other organization who have a huge need for toiletries for the people that come to their facilities. So if you could please look at that list, and if you have anything you would like to bring, we would very much appreciate that. And as well, I'm in charge of the pancake breakfast next Sunday. It's been a big hit the last couple of years, and so I'm quite excited to do this again. I do need some help for pancake flippers. If anybody wants to come, I only need about 4 people to help me. So if anybody is wanting to come and help that morning. I did forget what time we had said we were going to do it, so I made up a sheet and put 9 o'clock is breakfast and then 10 is the service. I think I'm going to keep that on that sheet because we're going to be ready for breakfast by 9, and if the service is a little later starting, people can sit and mingle and visit. And that's kind of the whole point of next Sunday morning, is that the people that don't usually come to our church will get an opportunity to feel welcomed and appreciated, and maybe they'll come back next time. So if anybody wants to help me, I'm going to be at the church about 8:15 next Sunday morning to get ready to go. Bill and Barb Farber are graciously donating all of the sausages, and Yetta is bringing eggs for the pancake mix, so we're okay for those things. I just need a bit of help. So that's it. Any questions, please talk to Andrea and I, and I think we're ready to go. Thanks, everybody.
Are there any other announcements? No, then it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to you Greg and Judy Doyle. Greg's a local boy, went to school with Phil. We won't hold that against Phil, but Greg and Judy will be presenting their Mission Aviation Fellowship of Canada. Right, Greg? Welcome.
I want to start by thanking you for this opportunity to share our hearts with you this morning. I want to start by asking a question. How many of us would be willing to hike for days over a treacherous jungle mountain path or travel by river in a dugout canoe to receive our medical care, our food, or any other basic needs? This is a harsh reality for many parts of the world, even today. And we need to reach out to these people that are isolated from the rest of the world with Christ's love. God has gifted Julie and I with certain gifts and abilities that would help reach these isolated people with Christ's love. And that's what brings us here this morning. The Lord has laid it on our hearts to use our gifts to make a difference for those whose reality would never change otherwise. Julie and I have joined Mission Aviation Fellowship, or MAF, whose purpose is to demonstrate God's love through aviation, communication, logistics to meet the spiritual and physical needs of those in the remotest parts of the world. MAF does this by bridging the gaps created by remoteness, rugged terrain, poverty, natural and human disasters, by providing wings for the God's work to continue to the ends of the earth as efficiently as possible with the use of aircraft and communications. After World War II, a group of Christian military airmen envisioned using airplanes as a tool to reach out in Christian love to the isolated people. MAF officially began its operations in 1946 in Latin America with Betty Green piloting the first flight into Mexico. And in early 1950s, MAF began ministering throughout Africa, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, Latin America. And since then, MAF has grown into an international organization that operates about 120 aircraft in 30 of the poorest countries around the world, enabling around 1,000 mission and humanitarian relief organizations to carry out their work. The country of Indonesia is the country that MAF is planning to send us once we are ready for the field. And last year in Indonesia, MAF flew about 15,000 flights, which redeemed about 27,000 working days for missions and humanitarian workers. And in these numbers, there's a countless stories, and I just want to share just one short one with you this morning. Last March in 2010, the Kim Lao tribe had a great reason to celebrate, as they were about to receive the New Testament in their own language, which had been about a 15-year-long project And as the celebration approaches, they needed to get supplies and people into their village. And so the only other way besides a several-day hike was to fly. And so MAF was privileged to be a part of not only bringing in the supplies and the people for the celebration, but also the New Testament for the day of celebration and the dedication of God's Word in the Kimlal language. And it, for me, it's just a great privilege and honor to be able to be a part of an organization that can help in a practical way that will impact this group of people for many generations. So this time I'm just going to share just a short 3-minute video that's going to illustrate a little bit of what we're involved in and the what's ahead of us. And so I'll leave it at that. So that's an excitement that I get to look forward to, is being a part of the ministry, being able to help people get food or get the gospel shared with them. So it's just a great honor and a privilege that I have before me, and to be a part of their family. I was blessed by upbringing by Christian parents. I grew up on a small beef farm just near Elkton here, which is not very far away. On the farm, I learned to drive and operate equipment at probably a younger age than I should have. And then during the summer of 1988, at a James River Bible Camp, I was shown the need for a personal Savior and accepted Christ. And it was a few years later, as I attended a different camp, Camp Little Red, where I was challenged to develop a closer walk with Christ. And from that time forward, with many bumps and setbacks, I plunged forward, getting to know my Savior in a personal way. And during my teenage years, someone from the Bergen Church placed a copy of the Jungle Pilot book into my hands, which is the biography of the late missionary pilot Nate Saint. And after reading that biography, I planned my life, because that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to follow in Nate Saint's footsteps. So I began planning my life on how I was going to be a missionary just like Nate. So when I finished high school, I enrolled at Prairie Bible College in their Associate Arts in Mission Aviation program. And during the first week of college, I joined the Bachelor to the Rapture Club. But a few weeks later, they revoked my membership. That's when I met my lovely wife, Julie. Julie grew up in a small town in Constantine, Michigan, with wonderful Christian parents and two younger siblings. One of Julie's earliest and favorite memories was she remembered sitting down with her grandfather and helping him fold the Sunday morning bulletins. And through her grandfather's ministry as a pastor, he helped Julie develop a love for God and opened her heart to the compassion of Jesus to reach the lost. And it was during a summer camp at the age 12 that she also gave her heart over to Jesus and asked him to use her for his glory. Later, Julie was blessed with two wonderful youth leaders who opened her eyes to the need of people to bring the gospel to the lost through missions. She also felt the Lord directing her to missions, but she remembered thinking that this would require her to go to countries that had big spiders and snakes. And that thought alone terrified her. But thankfully, God continued to lay it on her heart, the need to serve him and trust him no matter what. And so Julie, realizing that God would help her on the mission field, or wanted her on the mission field, that he would be with her and would help her along the way. And this allowed her to leave her family in Michigan to head to Prairie Bible College to gain the Bible training to start the adventure of a lifetime of following God's leading. Julie and I were then married in the summer of 99. We graduated from our programs that year, and along with my degree, I obtained a commercial multi-engine pilot's license. And after completing all this training to become a missionary pilot, the door for flying closed, as I was not able to find a flying job to build the hours that I needed. So unsure what to do with my life anymore, God opened the door that led me to become a journeyman electrician. And it was during this time that God blessed us with our three wonderful children, Franklin, Isaac, and Jacqueline. And Julie was also privileged at this time to use her training from college in our church at the time by helping develop children's programs and running clubs and leading ladies' Bible study. And Julie has loved to working with the children and being a stay-at-home mom. While going about our daily routine in the fall of 2007 on what we thought would be a regular Sunday morning, a missionary family from New Tribes Missions shared at our church about their work in Papua New Guinea, which relit that fire for missions in my heart again. And so through different doors opening and closing, God led our family to Steinbach, Manitoba. And in our move to Steinbach, that allowed me to have the privilege of training and passing on the gift of flying to others as a flight instructor. And during our time in Steinbach, we were accepted by MAF as pre-field missionaries. And we will be starting our pre-field training here on August 24th. After completing this needed training, the pre-field training that we are looking forward to serving and showing God's love to the people of Indonesia through piloting and maintaining MAF's aircraft. Looking back over my life, I've not always followed this truth, but even still, God has been following this verse has definitely rang true, even though I thought God was messing things up on me in years as my life didn't go as I had originally planned. But looking back, I have no regrets, and I'm thankful for that I can lean on this verse that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So now God has been preparing us for service with MAF, and we believe that he's also been preparing individuals to partner with us in this ministry. You may not be able to go to the other side of the world, but together we can help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is moving some of you to become partners with us in this ministry with MAF, and we would like to extend the opportunity for you to join our ministry team. We're looking for individuals who, through God's leading, would pray for us regularly, and individuals who, through God's leading, will be willing to invest financially in this ministry with monthly or quarterly or annually support. So please prayerfully consider where you might fit into this ministry. And if you have any questions, please talk to us after. If you're interested in getting involved, talk to us as well, please. We do have a little display table at the back that has prayer cards and a sign-up sheet to receive our newsletter that we send out every couple months. So I just want to, again, thank you so much for this opportunity to share our hearts and ministry with you this morning. So thank you.
Thanks to Greg for giving us that outline of the ministry that you and Julie are involved in. Kind of talking about snakes and big spiders. I was talking to Julia before the service there, and she says the biggest problem they've had over the last few weeks is fighting head colds. I think a lot of us can identify with that. But they have some literature out in the foyer then. Anyone who would like to have a read of that and get signed up, take a look through afterwards. Thank you. Thank you so much. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In Psalm 139, we read, I praise you, O Lord, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Great psalm, known as the X-ray psalm, Psalm 139. I'd like to welcome Phil and Youth Praise up to the platform now to lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Next song, and also underneath there is a Redeemer. God forever. Spirit and Youth Christ. What a good job they did of leading us into our worship with those beautiful choruses. We thank you. We're indebted to you. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, mighty God, Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, Lord, because you are holy. We come into this blessed and holy place, Lord, because we know that when we come here, we find a rich and a wonderful fellowship in which your love is shared in a bountiful manner as we greet one another with smiles, with handshakes, and with hugs. And we are embraced by your love. We thank you for this, gracious Lord. So as we worship you this day, Holy Father, we ask you to open our hearts. We ask you to open our minds. And we pray, Lord, that you will speak to each and every one of us. Accept the praise we bring, Lord. We seek to lift high the name of Jesus. And we do it in the precious name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. As we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 to 19. And I'm going to be reading, it'll be a little bit different than you might see on the screen from the New International Version. And there's a brand new Bible from the Greek. This is Jacob's dream of God. Jacob left Beersheba and set off for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you were lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north, and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. Now, if you join me in the responsive reading from Psalm 139, I'll read the part of Mark Liddell. O Lord, you search me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar.
You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know completely, O Lord.
You hem me in behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I walk to the heavens, you are there. If I lay my head in the depths, you are there.
If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast.
And I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me.
Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness that is light to you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
I just want to make a brief but significant mention of the man behind the controls this morning, Richard. I am greatly indebted to Richard for his help in putting lights on the screen and words and pictures on the screen. Thank you so much, Richard. He goes away on holiday and he comes back and I do all this work for you. Thank you so much. Good man. Now it's a great joy for us to have you, Grace, to come back up to the platform to lead us in special music. Thank you.
The song we're going to do this morning is called All I Need, and it's a song of a person talking to God, I guess expressing that he provides, you know, anything she needs to get by through the things she has to do each day. Now, the theme of it is kind of, it's almost a monastic type of song, because it's all about being alone with God and recognizing these things. The words aren't on your sheet, so you'll just have to listen.
When the day is done and there's no one else around, you're in my head, you're all I need, you're all I need. There's a million voices calling out my name, but you're the one I want to hear, so let the others disappear. You're all I need, you're all I need. You are all I need when I'm surrounded. You are all I need if I'm by myself. You fill me when I'm empty. There's nothing else, you're all I need. When the morning comes and your mercy is renewed, there's a fire in my bones, I'm not afraid to go alone. You're all I need, you're all I need. So on my face, I hear you whisper love. Still a God that open sees every flower within me. You're all I need, you're all I need. You are all I need when I'm surrounded. You are all I need if I'm by myself. You fill me when I'm empty. There's nothing else, you're all I need.
I'm drawn to everything that you do. Nothing compares with you.
You are all I need when I'm surrounded. You are all I need if I'm by myself. You fill me when I'm empty. There's nothing else. You are all I need when I'm surrounded. You are all I need if I'm by myself. You fill me when I'm empty. There's nothing else, you're all I need.
You're all I need.
Great job they did, eh? Wasn't that excellent? Thank you so much. We really enjoyed that, very much so. A little bird tells me that a little bird in this church had a birthday in this past week. I understand Elmer Bird had a big birthday, 39 was it? 39 is that? Is it maybe? So it's happy birthday to Elmer this week. We just love that lady. Happy birthday, Anna, and many more of them to you. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. And whilst we are doing the offertory, Maren is going to play for us. Thank you. Almighty God, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. Time for the children now to go to their Sunday school. Thank you, Maren. You did a good job, didn't she just? Well done, Maren. I think you guys are heading out to Sunday school. All right. Sorry. I have a story, but I haven't the time. And we will stand and we will sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 25, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. We stand and sing to God's glory.
Most glorious, the ancient.
We come to our time of prayer, and I think when we look at our church this morning, we look at our church service, I think we as a church family have a lot to thank God in prayer about. When we look at all of the people who contribute to the worship within our church, and we even have young people like Maren coming along and practicing her piano work, and then she comes into the church, into the sanctuary here, and she presents her talents before God. Isn't that wonderful? And she did it especially today because her grandparents are here, and she did it not only for them but for all of us. And you know, this is great. This is worshiping God. And in God, in our prayers, we thank God. We have our youth prayers up here. Young people who have been raised in this church family. And here they are leading us in worship. And it is just so great. Makes your heart feel so good when you see each and every one of them. And then when we look around our whole church here, our whole sanctuary, it is blessed with the talents of the people who are part of this church family. And we thank God for each and every one of them and for the talents that he has given to them and they use to his glory. Let us bow our heads and let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for being part, for the privilege of being part of your family and for being able to come into this blessed and holy place and to be able to come to you in prayer. We thank you, Father, for your love for us, for a love that holds us and keeps us together. And we thank you, Lord, that your love is so great that you show patience and mercy towards all people. And you give to all people the time that they need to come to you and to open their hearts to the good seed that you have to plant within their lives. Lord, grant that our lives may be open now to your touch, to your word, and to your healing. Help us to be focused on the good things that you do, rather than on the evil and the bad things that often seem to dominate life. Help us, Father, to be the ones who are the doers and the helpers, rather than to be the onlookers and those who criticize. Help us to be the ones who love rather than those who hate, to be the ones who trust rather than fear, and to be the planters of good seed rather than those who spread weeds. We thank you, Father, for our families, for our friends, for all who support and sustain us with their love. We ask you, Lord, to bless our church. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may worthily serve you and serve those whom you send to us, Father. In our hearts, we have a constantly changing list of people for whom we pray for and for whom we care for. We become more aware of those who struggle physically, mentally, and spiritually with life and with its many burdens. And we know, Lord, that there are those who battle demons in their lives, who battle addictions. And now, Lord, in the silence of our hearts, in the beauty of holiness, we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit, will reach down. Take the prayers of our hearts that we find difficult to put into words and to present them before your throne of grace. We pray in silence. Prepare us now, Lord, for the week that lies ahead. May we be aware that we can do all things in the strength of Christ our Saviour, who loves us and who continually sustains us. May we be blessed with an awareness of the presence of your gracious Spirit, who will grant us joy in all circumstances. And Father, may we be channels of your blessings to all whom we meet, as we seek once again to lift high the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour, in whose precious name we pray each and every one of these our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Today the gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and also 36 to 43 here. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" And his enemy did this. He replied, "The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed in the Son of Man is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of our age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear." All right. And the epistle comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 25. "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Thanks.
Our thanks to Will for that reading from the scriptures. We appreciate you doing that, Will. Thank you so much. And now we're going to stand and we're going to sing the hymn version of the Prayer of St. Francis, which I think is familiar to most of us here. The words will be on the screen. And we stand and sing to God's glory, "Make me a channel of your peace."
There is injury, your healing pardon. much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to ill men that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Those of you who are gardeners, or even those who are wannabe gardeners, are familiar with the effects of Murphy's first law of gardening. Murphy's first law of gardening. When weeding, the best way to make sure you are removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out of the ground easily, it is a valuable plant. There is another law which complements this one and states to distinguish between flowers and weeds, simply pull up everything. What grows back is weeds. In last week's service here in the church, we dealt with the parable of the sower, and we talked about how different kinds of soil produce different levels of results. In today's gospel, we are confronted with the question, what do you do with the weeds? What do you do with the weeds? Anyone who ever tried to plant a flower garden, a vegetable garden, or even just an ordinary lawn, you all know that the weeds will come, no doubt about it. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like. Did you ever want to know what heaven is like? I think it's something that buzzes through all of our minds at some time or other. I wonder what heaven is like. Jesus says, it is like this. It's like a man who sowed good seed in his field, and then unawares to him, his enemy sowed weeds all amongst his good seed. Then the wheat and the weeds sprouted. The farmer instructed his workers to let them all grow together until the harvest time, and at that time, the wheat will be harvested and the weeds will be burned. And Jesus says, get this, Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's not too difficult to work out what Jesus is telling us. This is a scary parable. The weeds are going to be thrown on a fire and they are going to be burned. And right here, Jesus isn't giving us a guide to farming. He's talking about life. He's talking about human behavior. The great Methodist preacher, Dr. Leslie Weatherhead, made this observation. He said, Jesus Christ, the person with the gentlest lips in history, said the most terrible words about hell ever spoken. It was gentle Jesus who referred to people as lost. He described hell as an everlasting fire, the shut door, the outer darkness where there are endless tears and gnashing of teeth. And Dr. Weatherhead continued, Jesus did not slant judgment and hell towards those who were broken and those who were imperfect, but towards those who proudly refused God's mercies, those who were too self-satisfied to repent. One thing is absolutely sure. Judgment Day is coming, and not one of us wants to be a weed. Right? No one wants to be a weed. It's like a story that our friends in the Roman Catholic Church tell. In the Roman Church, the age of seven, is traditionally known as the age of reason. When children reach the age of seven, they are expected to attend Mass regularly and to go to confession. Why? Because when they are seven, they are considered accountable for their sins. One five-year-old girl was impressed when she learned about this age of reason. And when her older brother reached the age of seven, she greeted him like this: "Happy birthday, Matthew! Now you can go to hell." We need to be quite clear. Judgment is a fact of life. We've all come across the frequently used phrase, "Everything happens for a reason." Everything happens for a reason. But this is true. Someone once said, the reason is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, which tells us that whatever we sow, we also reap. And the reason some things do happen to us is that we are reaping what we have sown. But sadly, sometimes we reap what someone else has sown. When Iris and I were in Victoria earlier in June, we saw this sign outside of a church right there. And it says, "Honk if you love Jesus, text while driving if you want to meet him." Kathy and Richard have just come back from Victoria, and I asked them, I know they go by this same church, and I asked them if it was still there, and she said, "No, it wasn't." But it caught Iris and I caught our eyes. I guess if the car that you were driving was hit by the car being driven by the texting driver, you are reaping what someone else has sown, and that's kind of tough. But there are some in our liberal thinking world who will say that it is terrible that those who are judged as weeds will be thrown on a great fire and they will be burned. But you know, Jesus didn't pull any punches. He is telling it the way it is. And if Jesus said it, you've got to believe it. It is real. It is true. And of course, what can be dangerous is when we get into the game of deciding for ourselves just who in this world are weeds. We then set ourselves up as judges. We judge who is the wheat and who are the tares. An instructor at a dog training class stated that an owner can test a dog's disposition. If the owner would fall down and pretend to be hurt, a dog with a bad temper would come over there and possibly even bite him. But a good dog will show concern and lick the fallen person's face. So a lady called Susan Matisse, she attended this class and she decided that she was going to test her two dogs. So while she was eating a slice of pizza in her living room, she stood up and clutched her chest, screamed and fell to the floor. Her two dogs looked at her. They looked at each other. And then they raced over to the coffee table and ate the pizza. Notice in Jesus' story, he tells the landowner tells the servants to let the wheat and the tares, the weeds, let them all grow together. Because when they first sprout, they look the same. They look exactly the same. You, Jesus says, are unable to distinguish between wheat and tares. You, Jesus tells us, are unable to distinguish between those who are really good and those who are really evil. So you must not even go there. Do not judge. Leave that to the one who knows. And this is a constant theme in the teachings of Jesus. And so it is very, very important. An old seminary professor used to begin his lectures with this one sentence. He says, "You defend God like you defend a lion. You get out of his way." God, it seems, has never had much trouble in dealing with his enemies. It seems that it is his friends who cause him the problems. Theologian Karl Rahner puts it this way. He says, "The number one cause of atheism is Christians. Those who proclaim him with their mouths and deny him with their lifestyles. This is what an unbelieving world finds simply unbelievable." Religious people are frequently accused of being self-righteous and judgmental. But the people who tend to think this way often do so because that is how they expect us to be. You know, they go to church so they think they are holier than thou and they think they're better than everyone else. But we know that it is not our job to decide who is and who is not fit for the kingdom of God. It's not our decision as to who are weeds in this world. I think most of us are familiar with the words of Jesus in John 3:16. And if I asked you to close your eyes, I'm sure you could recite it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But are we as familiar with the very next verse to this one? John 3:17. And it says this: "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God came into this world as the Lord Jesus Christ because he loves this world. He loves all of his people because he created each and every one of them. And his desire is that all of his children be saved from their own sinfulness. The real problem of passing judgment is that it does not allow us to be the channels of God's grace that he wants us to be. This is our main task, to help other people to come and to experience God's grace, as each and every one of us has done so. Besides which, we can never ever fully know another person's circumstances. We don't know what's going on in other people's lives. Pastor Ken Collins was working one day near a barn when a squirrel went scurrying past him and ran into the barn. It then came out of the barn and it seemed to be running straight at Pastor Collins. And the thought came to him, could this squirrel have rabies? So he picked up a stick, he armed himself and he prepared to defend himself. But this squirrel ran straight past him. And it ran up to a large tree and it stood at the base of the tree and it was unable to climb. Then Ken saw the problem. As the squirrel turned to face him, he could see an area in that squirrel's chest where it had been shot, probably by a BB gun. And unable to climb the tree, it turned and it ran off into the woods. And Pastor Ken Collins then, he started thinking, is God trying to give me a message here? Is God trying to send a message to me? And he thought, that squirrel couldn't climb because it was wounded. And he said, God was saying to me, I have lots and lots of children in this world who have been wounded by Satan, but they are still my children. Do not judge, that you be not judged. And Jesus' parable clearly tells us that a time will come when the wheat will be separated from the weeds. But only God is in a position to know which is which. In the meantime, we must focus on what God has called us to do. To love all people. To witness to the amazing grace that God has shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And for this, we say thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymns. The first one that we sing is one that's not in our hymn book and one that we don't normally sing at this time of the year. But we're going to stand and sing to God's glory. Bringing in the sheaves. Let's sing it to His grace. Thanks, God.
In the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss sustained our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Great, good singing. 312 to be God's people.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs Your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer. To be God's people in this place, live His goodness, share His grace.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.